Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lowe's has all the supplies you need to get your home spring ready, inside and out. Shop Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Plus, renew for the season with select cleaning essentials for under $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
We have everything you might want now the spring sun is shining. Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
The Burt Show.
Okay, Monday morning. How's everybody doing? How was your weekend, Abby?
So fun.
So fun.
I feel like typically because we work such early hours, I don't really make plans for Friday. And that's for good reason because usually I'm ready to go home by like midnight. But I went to a singles Halloween party with one of my close friends and we dressed up as Sabrina Carpenter and Jenna Ortega from the Taste okay. music video. We looked amazing, not to brag. But I will say I am pretty fired up after the party in terms of the men department. Because for one, we went to this party, which was really fun, had a great time, but the ratio was so depressing for it being a singles event. There might have been, for every 9 girls, 1 man.
Oh, really?
And then the other qualm that I have is that the guys didn't dress up. It was a Halloween party.
Right.
And so there would be a handful of guys dressed up and you'd be like, all right, cool. Thanks, dude, for dressing up as Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy from SpongeBob. And then like the other half would just be like in Henleys and jeans.
Yeah, I do think there's a hidden message there. When people show up to Halloween parties without kind of costumes at all, I feel like for me, it does make a statement.
I think it's pretentious. Like you thought you were too good to dress up and you thought like, oh, it's like the lame thing to do.
Yeah.
It made me want to not talk to any man there.
It doesn't make it feel pretentious to me for whatever reason. It just makes me feel like, dude, come on, laugh a little bit, man. You got a couple of hours in your day. Just have a little fun.
Yeah, like you don't have a sense of humor. Yeah. So we're still single.
I don't know. How are you, Mo?
I've been better.
Yeah. What's going on?
It wasn't a bad weekend. It just was a weekend surrounded by being a Yankees fan. I mean, that's what.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what my whole weekend was about, the World Series. And it's not going our way.
Yeah, they're down 2 games to nothing.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's funny, ironically, on Saturday night after we lost, I got dragged to a Halloween costume party, and I was in Yankees gear. So people assumed that I was a Yankee.
You were dressed up as a clown?
They kept calling me a loser all night. What are you, a loser?
They really could have used your help in L.A.
Yeah, they could have. But other than that, man, it was all right. It was just a rough weekend as a Yankees fan.
I'm sorry, dude. And Kristen and I spent the weekend hanging out together in Lexington. Ooh, and I am still recovering this morning.
Yeah. No, same. That was a long weekend, but a fun weekend. So, yeah, we went back to my hometown, Lexington, Kentucky, for a friend's birthday. So our buddy Joel, it was his birthday. He's an Auburn fan. He went there. He was actually the mascot, Obby, while he was there. And Auburn was playing Kentucky this weekend. So we just made an entire weekend trip of it. We went down early so we can do Keeneland. For those that don't know, that's a racetrack, a horse track there in Lexington, which is gorgeous. And we did the track all day Friday. And then Saturday, the game wasn't until, this is how you know you're getting old, 7:45.
Yeah.
So late.
Even back in the day when there were 7:45 games, I'd be like, okay, all day. We'll start at like 9 in the morning. We'll be so buzzed by 7:45. Even the first decision of the day was, how late can we start tailgating?
We started.
Still have a fun time.
We started at 4. Yeah. I thought that was respectable. And then, you know, of course, the weekend couldn't have gone more perfect for Jill. Our weather was immaculate. Everything just went seamlessly and flawlessly, and Kentucky even lost at home for him. That way he could get an Auburn win. So that was really nice of them to do that for his birthday. And then, I don't know why, but now this is the one thing that sticks out in my head from the weekend, is the guy that yelled at Joel, and then I yelled back at him.
Oh my God, you guys. So we are walking out. First of all, I will say this, that I will rank people from Kentucky as far as friendliness goes right up there with the rest of the country. Like, for me, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, salt of the earth, good people. And I would put Kentucky in the exact same category. They're slow talkers, but they're nice people.
It takes a minute to get that story out.
It does, man. Anyway, after the game, Auburn wins this game in Kentucky Stadium. And by the way, the presentation in Kentucky at the actual game was one of the best in the SEC. I was not expecting. The DJ was on fire.
Yeah, it was a party, man.
It was a party, man. And I love the stadium also because it's not too big. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go to like a Knoxville or a Athens, even, and the stadium is so big, you can almost forget it's a college football game. But Kentucky's is just big enough to make it feel like it's a huge college football game, but small enough to make it feel intimate, like it's a little bit Ole Miss-ish. Like, it's just a good size. 61,000 people. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember, Knoxville, Georgia, they hold over 100,000.
We're sitting there at the beginning of the game, and whoever does handle audio visuals at Kentucky is crushing it. So they had, like, this intro video of all these past Kentucky teams, and Bert looked at me and he goes, man, if you didn't know, you think Kentucky was going to the college championship this year, man.
No, what I said was,
really good.
They made it look like they won every college championship over the last 50 years. But anyway, as we're walking out, everybody's being nice enough, right? And this one college student, I'm guessing he was 19, 20 years old, walks by us and sees our friend Joel, who's in all orange, Auburn stuff, and with such vitriol flips Joel off and tells him to F off, and
over and over again he's just like, F you, man, F you. And we're all standing there like, okay, what?
Well, not we weren't all just standing there utterly stunned. Then there was Kristen's knee-jerk reaction, which was beautiful. I don't know how you edit this for radio.
So I was just so mad because we had encountered such friendly folks, right? And like, I'm back in my hometown and I want us to represent, and I want us to be like, we're here spending money, staying at hotels, eating at restaurant. Like, we're gonna be nice to our opposing fans because they're putting money into our economy, baby. Like, let's represent well. And this kid walks by, and he wasn't a kid. He had a full face, like he had full facial hair.
So. He was a student, though.
So he walks by, and he does all that. And I look at him. I'm like, "Hey, man!" And I'm so drunk, y'all. "Hey, man, you're better than that, you little piece of ass."
He really brought it.
Yeah.
You told him.
Even the people around us were laughing at her. They were all in Kentucky gear, but they were happy you said it.
I didn't know what I wanted to say, but I knew I needed to stick up for my friend because this is his birthday. And somebody just got his face and told him to F off. And we're all like, he wasn't on the field. Right. It's not like he was the one that was tackling Kentucky. Like, what did he have to do with the game?
He legitimately was screaming at Joel like Joel was the quarterback, well, QB1.
Wow.
It was
his birthday.
It was so intense. And we were just, and I said, we laughed the entire way home. And I was like, well, hope you had a good weekend.
I think one of two things happens when you have a home game. Either you're really, really super nice to the people that are in your stadium because you want to represent your school and your city and your state well, or you just want to bury the crap out of them, which I'm not a fan of.
Did you know that Bart reprimanded the woman sitting next to him, the Kentucky fan sitting next to him?
What did he say?
So Auburn was doing a chant. It's toward the end of the game, and they're spelling out Auburn. And she turns around. She goes, "Ew, look, you know how to spell. Oh, press." Like, she says something like that. And my husband looked at her, and he goes, "Don't do that." She goes, "Don't tell me how to live my life."
And this was the nicest of the SEC.
Wow.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Timothy Chalamet had the opportunity to do the funniest thing possible, and he did. So in New York City over the weekend, I guess somebody decided to put up some flyers around the city saying that there was going to be a Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest in Washington Square Park at some point during the weekend. There are just flyers stuck to the walls of buildings and lampposts. And it basically says $50 to the person who looks the most like Timothy Chalamet. It's going on from noon to 2 or something like that.
That's kind of random, no?
No, it's so random. random, but I mean, it's not that hard to find a lot of scrawny white men in New York City who look like they haven't eaten in 5 days. So, of course, Washington Square Park was rampant with the skinny white boys. I mean, it was so crowded. All the videos I saw, I mean, it looked like a giant mosh pit. I can't believe so many people came out for $50. And then I remember how expensive rent in New York is, and this was probably a really big help to somebody. So they're all gathered around in this massive pit. There's one guy running the show. He has this big check behind him that says for $50, like kind of the ones that you get for, you know, any kind of big contest or when people win the lottery. It's one of those big cardboard checks. And he's standing there describing how it's going to go. And he says, okay, basically, I'm going to bring out one guy. You cheer yes or you cheer no if you think he looks like Timothy or not.
Everybody listen! To start. 1 minute, we will start. Hey, Timothy will come up. Everybody will go yes or no, okay?
Yes! 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 Yes!
Yes! It's a ridiculous world we live in. I love it.
I know. That was from Mick Mick NYC. So anyway, here's my point. So of course, they're all standing around trying to find the guy that's going to look the most like Timothy Chalamet, a guy who's dressed up as Willy Wonka eventually wins. Arguably looks nothing like Timothy Chalamet from the videos I saw, but that's not a hill I'm willing to die on. Timothy Chalamet shows up to the lookalike event. There are photos of him taking selfies with people. And the one comment that people are saying is, how does he look the least like Timothy Chalamet of the Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest?
Did he enter himself in the contest or he just showed up afterwards?
He showed up, I mean, in the middle of it. So he didn't stand up and like have people cheer for him.
That would have been funny.
So funny. I mean, he lives in New York, so I think he decided to stop by. But if I'm whoever's running his security, I'm thinking that this is not a safe situation for Timothy. Like, I'm thinking this is some kind of way to lure Timothy in. But then at the same time, how do you know which one is Timothy when it's the Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest?
If he's in the contest, it's almost like when you were a toddler and you were hiding out in, like, full sight when you were, like, playing hide and seek. Because nobody would have really believed he was ever going to be there.
Yeah, because he's hiding in plain sight. But people found out pretty quickly that Timothy was there.
Fantastic.
Okay, the number one movie on Netflix over the weekend was Woman of the Hour. And Chris, I know you're going to be very excited to watch it because it's true crime. I don't typically watch true crime, but Anna Kendrick was running this show. She made her directorial debut for this movie. It's all about the dating game killer from the 1970s. Oh my God, I can't believe that this is a real story. Mm-hmm. So it's all about this guy named Rodney Alcala and his 1978 appearance on the iconic show, The Dating Game, which you've probably seen before. It's got the woman or the guy on one side who's the bachelor, the bachelorette, and then you have the other three contestants on the other side. It's like the original Love is Blind. Like, they're asking each other questions, and it's supposed to be funny and lighthearted, and at the end of it, somebody wins the game, and they go out on a date somewhere. And so the serial killer, Rodney Alcala, in 1978, wins The Dating Game and gets set up on a date with this woman named Cheryl, who Anna Kendrick plays in the show, but in the movie. And so basically, this entire movie is showcasing the dating game while also intermittently showing scenes of women that he has murdered throughout the course of his life.
It was the fact that he went on here just shows how delusional a person is that he's like, I'm never getting caught. In fact, I'm going to go on a national television, you know, game show and get a date with a woman and then do what I've been doing to these other women.
So this wasn't his only victim. He had victims before he went on the show?
Yeah.
Wow. So the reports say that he may have killed up to 130 women, but he's only been convicted, I think, for four, and then like I think kidnapping, and then of course something else for one of the other women, so five women total. And the woman on The Dating Game wasn't a victim. One of the most chilling scenes from the movie is when Cheryl, who Anna Kendrick plays, realizes this guy is not good and has to get out of the situation.
So I started watching this over the weekend, and I was expecting, I feel like Netflix shows can be a toss-up. It's either going to be a really high-value production like you might see in a theater or get from HBO, or it's going to be a Hallmark kind of movie. And I was expecting Hallmarky, like Anna Kendrick usually does lighthearted stuff, and the opening scenes are so gripping and so well shot. It's like artsy without being boring art house. Oh. And I just, some of the framing and the acting right off the bat is excellent. So I would recommend going to check check it out.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. Women, trigger warnings for all the things. Uh-huh. It is chilling.
Every trigger warning ever. Is
every
it this
trigger
movie?
Warning.
They should just name the movie Trigger Warning.
Yes. All right, Shaquille O'Neal is catching heat for sexist comments he made to Angel Reese about how the WNBA could make more money. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Today's episode is brought to you by Georgia Safe Retirement Planners.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I will be honest and tell you, one of the signs that you are getting older is when somebody sends you a text message with an emoji and then you have to text them back and go, I don't know what that means.
I'll look it up first out of embarrassment basket.
Yes, I've done that also. So same applies here to the movie emoji game. And since it is Halloween time, we've got to focus on horror movies, correct?
Yes, we have been playing the movie emoji game for years. It is my favorite. The premise is I have put together either the description of a movie or the description of the title of the movie using only emoji. So you will listen to Siri read the emoji, and then you have to guess what the movie is. They're all horror movies. They're all famous ones, so we're not going to have some random niche one you've never heard of.
Okay.
Unless, like, you are too young or too old, then you maybe didn't. But I've also invited our horror master, Rebecca, in here because she loves, loves, loves horror movies. So if you guys can beat Rebecca, she doesn't know any of the clues. She's going to play alongside. Then you will get the title of
not
horror
fair.
Master.
You're bringing in a ringer. It's like going, you know what? Hey, we're going to play 3-on-3 today, and the guy that's on my team is a guy named Michael Jordan.
Listen, we used to bring Tommy in to play this game because he is a savant with movie knowledge, and because Rebecca's thing is horror movies, it's only fair that she comes into play.
I feel like you let us have a go at it first, and then inevitably when none of us get it, you can just come in with the answer.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Duh.
Sounds good.
All right, you guys get it?
Yep.
All right, we need buzzers so you can ring in.
Okay. How about Bert? That's Boom. All I can muster
come,
this morning.
Do something horror-ish.
Bird.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Ooh.
Well, y'all sound the same now.
Yeah, I figured I was scared you was going to say that. He took my answer.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Y'all are making this difficult. Boo. Thank you. You're all welcome. Right. Clue number one. We're going to start off very easy for you. I'm going to ease you in.
Clown face.
Boo.
Clown.
Kristen.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pennywise says he's available for parties. The movie is it.
All right. Number two. Point to Kristen.
TV. Videotape. Ring.
I mean, it was a tie, so.
The ring?
Yep.
Somebody hooked that girl up with a spray tan already. The movie is the ring.
All right. 1-1.
Eagle. Parrot. Standing chick. Swan. Rooster. Turkey. Owl, penguin head,
bird
head, dodo bird,
bird.
Goose,
the bird,
bird, bird.
Oh, yes, yes, you got it.
The movie is Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
All right, next one. This is one of my favorite movies.
Globe showing America's alien speaker outputting high volume skull
oh,
face
boo.
With single finger over mouth
Kristen.
And shushing.
Contact?
No.
Alien?
Nope.
Globe showing America's alien. Speaker outputting high volume. Skull. Face with single finger over mouth in shushing gesture. Face with a zipper mouth. Ear with hearing
Bert?
Aid. Closed fist with
Bert.
Medium light
Silence
skin tone.
Nope.
Alien.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
There's a key clue in there that you guys keep talking over that'll tell you what movie it is. Play it one more time.
Globe showing America's. Alien. Speaker outputting high volume. Skull. Face with single finger over mouth
Bert?
In shushing gesture. Face with a zipper mouth. Ear with hearing aid. Closed fist with medium light skin tone. Alien.
What's your guess, Bert?
Never mind. I got nothing.
Rebecca?
A Quiet Place.
Yes!
Oh. Oh. We're talking right now. The movie is A Quiet Place.
Have you known all of these so far, Rebecca?
I have.
Okay, I think you need to start ringing in then. Yep. All right, next one.
Shark.
Kristen.
Kristen.
Oh, boo. Oh, sorry. Joss.
Yes!
I don't care what y'all fools say. This is a horror movie. We're gonna need a bigger boat. The movie is Jaws.
All right, next one.
House with garden. Girl's head. TV. Ghost. Tombstone.
Bert.
Yes.
Poltergeist?
Yeah!
Okay. Nice. The movie is Poltergeist.
All right, so right now in the lead is Kristen and Bert are tied with two apiece.
Okay.
All right, next one.
Flag of the United States. Man standing. Airplane. Flag of France. Full moon. Wolf head. Skull.
A bird? I was going to say werewolf in London, but that can't be right.
Because
he's
in
France. Yeah.
Is it werewolf in Paris?
Almost. You're very close. You're missing one word.
Rebecca.
Yeah. Rebecca.
An American werewolf in London.
No.
Oh. No.
What?
It is not an American werewolf in London. That is not the movie.
Because we went to Paris. We went to France.
American werewolf in
France?
Paris.
An American werewolf in Paris. Y'all don't know that one?
I didn't even know that was a movie.
All right.
No clue.
Next one.
Face with a zipper mouth. Sheep.
Bird.
Sheep.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
All right. The movie is The Silence of the Lambs.
Bert, you're crushing it.
Crushing.
Rebecca, you're awfully silent.
I have to give them a chance.
No, you don't. Ring in. All right, next
crescent
one.
Crescent shaped moon. Person sleeping on a bed. Sleeping sign. Thinking bubble. Man running. Man's head with medium light skin tone. Fedora butcher knife. Butcher knife.
Rebecca.
Butcher knife.
Yes.
Butcher
knife. And then Elm Street.
Ding, 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 ding.
1, 2. Freddy's coming for you. The movie is A Nightmare on Elm Street.
All right, the next one I think you should all get because it is a classic.
Okay, let's round it up with this one.
Girl's head. Girl's head. Hotel.
Oh, Kristen, boo.
Yes.
Here's Johnny.
The Shining?
Wow. Yes, The Shining.
Here's Johnny. The movie is The Shining.
Teamwork.
Half point each, girl.
Here's Johnny.
I will take it this early in the morning.
The Bert Show.
It would be an interesting question to ask parents. Like, how long did you wait to change your kid's room once they moved out of the house? Because I don't know if you guys have experienced this. You move out of the house, you come back to your family home, and your room is completely different. There is no recognition at all that you were ever in that room. Has that happened to you guys?
That's happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom completely changed my room to the point where I can't tell I ever lived there. I don't think it was that long either. Maybe she gave me a year or two.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So she, a little bit.
All right. For some, it's like as soon as you walk out the house, they are right behind you, already taking all of the photos down.
Well, which is worse, a parent that immediately changes your room as soon as you walk out, or the parent that keeps your room like a shrine until like, you're in like in your mid-30s?
It's a good question, but it's one that DeAndre can't really answer because only one of them happened to him, and it's shocking.
Yeah, I, you know, took the hour and a half drive home, you know, going to see my mom for the weekend, catch up with my grandparents, and I come home to my room. I'm like, where is my room?
Now, what did your room look like?
So when we moved into this house, I was a senior in high school. So it wasn't like how my room was in our old house. I had my own room. So me and my brother shared a room and she put like two twin beds in it because we were moving out anyway. So she called it the college getaway room. So, you know, I had like all my stuff down and stuff in the closet and whatnot. I come home this past weekend. There's nothing in there.
Nothing.
Zero.
Nothing's in there. Like, there's like the two beds that are in there. Like, all of my stuff in the closet is now her stuff for her cricket and her crafting stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, where am I going to stay? And she was like, in your brother's room. And mind you, his room is now the playroom.
You know, it would be worse if you were sharing a room with a brother and you guys both move out. She takes all of your stuff out of the room but keeps all of his stuff up.
That would be very much low down. Low down. So I'm like, she's like, yeah, sleep in your brother's room. And I was like, okay. So I was like, you're really all in on this empty nester life. She's like, I've been telling you this. Yeah. I need my home office. I work from home. I need that separation of space. But I'm like, I still have to come home. There's still like breaks. And then she put in, so after school, are you going to like stay in Athens? Or are you coming back here? What's your plan? And I'm like, I'm going to stay in Athens.
Because there's no space for you here.
Literally. No space. And she's talking about this downsizing. She said, I think I'm going to like, in a few more years, I'm going to downsize to a 3-bed, you know, 2-bath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm counting. I'm like, there's 5 of us.
there's no space for you anymore.
There's 5 kids. And she was like, I'm aware.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking. It is, man, when you come home and your room said there is nothing of you on it at all.
I mean, shouldn't it be like a unwritten rule that you should at least let your kid graduate from college before you just completely take their room? It feels like that's the least you can do.
I didn't do that. I mean, Hayden was gone, and yeah, that room was converted pretty quick. It was converted pretty damn quick.
What did you convert Hayden's room into?
It was a shrine for Hollis. Oh. Just kidding. All right, one of us is going to be singing the national anthem publicly because we have a bet, and with any luck at all, we'll do better than this woman.
For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare. Can I go back, please?
He said we're live.
That was live, man.
That was this weekend, I think. There was like a debate for third-party presidential candidates, and she's the one that kicked it off.
That is a third-party national anthem singer right there.
Yes, it is.
Professionalism at its best.
All right, our college football bet is a little bit different this year than it has been in past years. The winner actually has to choose the team that loses the most games. So this has been hands down, not even close. At least for two of us, considering Abby made the prediction of a lifetime.
Just call me Nostra Football Miss or whatever you would call it. I don't think anybody is more shocked than me, because when I chose Florida State, who was undefeated last year, I kind of knew they were going to be on a losing streak. I didn't realize they would go 1-7 through a majority of the season. And you know what? As a Florida Gator fan, I really couldn't be happier.
Yeah, when they lost to Duke a couple of weeks ago, they just should have like called the NCAA and said, you know what, we're done. We're not going to play the rest of the
game. We're going to sit the rest of the season out.
All right, so I have New Mexico, and they came through. My team was 3-4, so they had won three games. They weren't supposed to win three games this year. So I picked New Mexico. Thank God they lost to Colorado State 17-6. So my team now safe this week, 3 wins, 5 losses.
I took Kent State, and I am proud to say that I am still the only one with a big old goose egg this season. So Kent State lost at Western Michigan 52-21. And then a Burt Show listener popped into my DMs, and I think there's a stat, like only one school hasn't led at all this year. And it's Kent State.
Good for you guys.
Wow. Thank you.
That's a hell of a pick.
A lot of credit for consistency.
Yes. So we are 0-8, baby.
I think they just forgot to recruit.
Recruiting season's over. Damn it.
We missed it.
Mo?
I chose East Carolina, who, as I keep saying, won two games all of last season. And now they are sitting pretty after beating Temple 56-34. East Carolina scored 56 points. And are now 4-4, sitting at 500, man. I can't believe this.
So at this point, you are leading/losing the competition.
Yes, I am the lead loser, I suppose, is how you look at this. I am winning. But only one game, though. I'm keeping hope that New Mexico will still take some wins.
Have you guys made any observations of when you check these scores over the weekend? Because I check every week now.
Oh, well, because I do the schedule.
Yeah.
So Sunday night, as I'm putting it together, I pull up all the scores. And so that's when I find out how everybody did. And I'm
I check every Saturday night, and I should stop. It ruins my night.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what kind of fascinates me a little bit is the science behind things that end up going viral and things that don't end up going viral. Last week, we were talking about the Nutter Butter campaign on TikTok, which has exploded. And we tried to explain to you guys that if you're not on TikTok and you haven't seen it, it's almost like a psychedelic trip of a commercial where it just doesn't seem to make any sense at all. There's a lot of bright colors and nonsense going on the Nutter Butter ads. How do you even explain what it is?
A psychedelic trip is probably a good place to start. You watch it and you're kind of like, what intern came up with this? And you realize a really smart intern because everybody is talking about it.
You know what I found out about that campaign this weekend is that the person that designed that campaign has been out for a year. So it just exploded over the course of the last couple of weeks. So chances are pretty good Nutter Butter trusted somebody with that campaign a year ago and it didn't take off and they fired that person. And now a year later, it's done well.
And they've really committed to the bit. And it's really worked.
And it's worked, right? So Duncan is at it this morning and it's getting some attention too with a campaign that I don't quite understand.
I'm calling this the Sassy Spider campaign because if you go to Dunkin' Donuts Instagram right now, you're going to see a lot of memes that they've created surrounding their new spider donut, which is this purple donut. It's just your classic donut that's been frosted with a little bit of purple frosting. And then there's a munchkin, which is a donut hole in the middle, and then some frosting spider legs sticking out of it. And then they have little white eyes on it. So it's made to look like a little spider on this donut. And they have captioned the photos of this donut with some really interesting sayings. I'm looking at one that has a photo of the donut. Donut, and it's captioned, "Your girl said I'm not so itsy bitsy."
Hey, yo.
There's another one where they put a little bow on it and it's captioned, "People be like, LOL, who's this diva?" Which is what the kids are saying when they see somebody look a little sassy on the internet. This one's really jarring. It's a photo again of the spider donut and it's captioned, "I've got the long legs. All I need is the daddy."
There is no such thing. Or be really, really careful when somebody comes to the plate now with an idea that's really bizarre that would have got them fired. Like, what? You're an idiot. Get out of here. Those are the ones that are going viral. So good for Duncan.
Good for Duncan.
All right. So you found yourself a little on the insecure side based on a date that you had with a very specific profession a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Can you imagine going out with someone that you feel like is psychoanalyzing you from start to finish? Because that's what happened to me when I decided to agree to a date with a therapist. And I feel like if you're out in the dating game, you kind of know, like, within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you know whether or not this is going somewhere or not. And while I really thought this guy was great, super nice dude, after about 10 minutes, I'm kind of like, this guy's not going to be my boyfriend. So why don't I just ask him every question I've ever wanted to ask my therapist so I can at least get something out of this 1 hour interaction. I don't know if you've ever felt like asking just really jarring questions to your therapist, but you don't really want to cross certain boundaries because when you're paying $200 for an hour, you want to talk about your trauma, not about their experience as a therapist.
I'm very curious to get in your head here for just 1 second. So was there at some point in the date where you realized, okay, there's not going to be a second date, so I might as well use him for his therapy and his psychological background?
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with anything that anybody said. I think when it just comes to chemistry, after about 10 minutes, you kind of go, okay, this is just not it. Right. So we might as well have an interesting conversation. And I talk for a living. And we can only talk about pop culture for so long. So I was like, why don't we just talk about his job? And let me get the inside scoop from a therapist's head. So I do have I have an insecurity about when I go to therapy that I sometimes feel like my problems aren't big enough or they're not important enough. This is notorious because a couple of years ago, I had a therapist that worked with incarcerated individuals. And I would be sitting there crying about something stupid and yappy. And I'd be like, this woman probably talked to somebody on death row today. And so that's where my insecurity came from. So I asked him, because this is a real thought that's inside my head, is, do you ever judge your clients for their problems? Like, do you ever feel like, do you ever kind of roll your eyes when someone brings something trivial to the table? And do you ever feel like it's just not worth, $200 an hour? And he actually gave me a very comforting answer. He said that he actually really enjoys having clients or a mix of clients that have different types of problems. He's like, if I only talk to people about their childhood trauma all day, every day, it would be so depressing. So he's like, when someone comes to me with like some office gossip, it is nice to take a breather and just feel like I don't have to like have this heavy conversation.
Yeah, that makes some sense right there.
100%. I also wanted to know about some of his weird therapy experiences. Like, have you ever had a client where they just said something and you were like, what? And he said, yeah, there were definitely some things that he probably didn't feel comfortable talking about on a first date, but he did talk to me about OCD, which is something that I have. He said, I did have this interesting experience with a client where they kept having these intrusive thoughts that they were going to cut off their arm with an axe, or they were going to hurt somebody with an axe because somebody had an axe in their garage. Like one of their roommates had like some really scary equipment, and this person just kept having intrusive thoughts that they were going to do something drastic with the axe. And so he said to combat these intrusive thoughts, they decided to do exposure therapy. So the therapist that I was out with decided to bring an axe into client session. And they just sat there the whole time with the axe in front of them so that the client could prove to themselves that they weren't going to do anything with the axe. And it was just an intrusive thought.
Boy, that's, risk that, at all.
That's a risk.
That's a real risk. Right
there. There are a couple of industries, I think, that would make you feel a little insecure. I think going out with a dentist.
Same.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind. Mm. Hairstylist. They're going to be judging you also.
Yeah. Is my haircut good enough?
Right.
Yeah, these are all people that I've been out with. So it's no wonder that I've got enough insecurities going into my dating life.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Shaquille O'Neal is sparking some backlash for some really creepy comments that he made to WNBA star Angel Reese on her new podcast, Unapologetically Angel. When I saw this last night, I jolted out of bed because I could not believe that Shaq, who I feel like is a hero to so many people, would say something like this to a young woman. So they're having this conversation, a very candid conversation about the WNBA and talking about how it can produce more money, because notoriously all these big WNBA stars that are coming out, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, are basically saying, yeah, this salary doesn't cut it. Like, it's their endorsement deals. They're making like $75,000. It's not paying for Angel Reese's $8,000 a month Chicago rent. And so this conversation with her and Shaq, he eventually decides to come up with some ideas on how to procure some more money for the WNBA. And people are calling it very sexist.
Edge. And you don't strike this from the tape, Christian.
We ain't striking it.
Don't. I'm telling you, just lower like that to where it gives your ability to dunk. Bro, imagine you.
I'm not imagining.
Hold on, let me finish. Imagine you in the same little shirt you had on at the Wild and Out show, dunking. You know how many t-shirts you're going to sell, Chris? You tripping.
Oh, my God.
What? What? The same little shirt you had on.
Okay, all right, all right, all right.
Dunking.
All right, all right. Bro.
She's even trying to save him.
He kept going.
You're going over the line, bro.
I do think the clip, I'm not defending Shaq because he shouldn't have said it, but I do think the clip makes it look a little worse than the entire conversation. Because what Shaq was saying or trying to say was, since she always does dress that way, instead of doing it for free, you should make people pay for it and turn it into a business. Because he was trying to speak to her from the standpoint of a businessman, that if you are going to be taking these kind of pictures and walking around with that kind of clothes on, then maybe you should make people pay for it instead of getting it for free. I'm not saying that makes it better, but I think it did help a little bit.
So I understand where you're coming from. Totally 100% understand where you're coming from. But when he says, I think you should make the game easier by lowering the rim and then wearing provocative shorts that she's just wearing in her free time, which she has every right to wear, it makes me feel, as a woman, like, okay, so my only monetary value is through my sexual appeal. Like, it's not, like, we're not putting the guys in short little shorts. You know what I mean? So, like, why am I only going to be respected and paid for equally if I bring something provocative to the table?
It diminishes the talent.
100%. So it's like, I mean, it's not fair. And I totally understand, like, you know, people aren't showing up to the WNBA games as much as the regular NBA games. So I understand them, why they're not being paid more. But I think it was totally the wrong thing to say, because it literally says that your value isn't enough unless you provide something for misogynistic men. Mm-hmm. And that's where I stand on that. So, Shaquille O'Neal, I hope you come out and retract that statement, because otherwise you've done really great work in your life.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, you really have to be very, very careful. I mean, every word you say in a forum like that is going to be dissected and magnified also. So I understand why there's controversy, and my guess is when he heard it, he probably rolled his eyes like, here we go. Like, he comes from a generation where it wasn't as PC, so I'm thinking his first reaction was, I didn't even realize that was offensive.
He called it, too, which makes it wild. He actually says, I know they're going to clip that, and it's going to go viral, and it's going to sound crazy, but for whatever reason, he still went for it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people also just felt a way about it, because here he is, a 52-year-old man talking to a 22-year-old girl that I think a lot of people have seen as sort of like a mentor-mentee situation. Not necessarily like father figure vibes, but for a guy to who is sort of a father figure-ish to a young woman in basketball, I think now people are feeling a type of way about it. It's like, okay, you're sexualizing a woman who could be your daughter. Very uncomfortable.
I think Shaq should also come with big dude subtitles, because I only get like every fourth word.
He sounds like he's always hoarse. Yeah.
All right, there was a really exciting concert in North Carolina over the weekend. Luke Combs, Eric Church, and so many other people raised over $24 million for people affected by Hurricane Helene. Obviously, this was an incredibly devastating hurricane. It killed over 200 people, millions of dollars in damages. But 12 country music stars pulled up to the Bank of America Stadium on Saturday, had the largest concert in the venue's 30-year history, had over 80,000 people show up, and again, raised $24.5 million for the Hurricane Helene Relief Fund. So cool. And also very ironic considering Luke Combs, who was the headliner for the show. He has a very popular song called Hurricane, so really great PR move for him, I think, as well. All right, clips of Taylor Swift talking about Diddy are resurfacing in the wake of his investigation. I'll tell you what she said about her past with him on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.